Welcome back, live from Podcast Command. Friday morning, drinking my coffee. I am in Phoenix at my best friend's house. He's got kind of a walled compound here, and we pull our RVs up in here, and Mobile Podcast Command is sitting here. We're going to have a little party this weekend, and that should be cool, so that's going to be a lot of fun. But it is time for this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, which includes my son, Andrew Davis, and I doing some post-debate and some election up to this point analysis. And we both noticed in podcast 562, and now, of course, in the radio show, that we missed the lead story coming out of the debates, which is that Donald Trump refuses to accept the democratic process, which is not what he said. And the problem with Trump is if you try to clarify what he said, you're defending him and people attack you for it. Donald Trump's a big boy. He can defend himself. He's enjoying, the media circus, which puts Trump's name front and center. And I'm not going to talk about the whole rigged election thing or any of this other stuff. The reaction to what he said at the debate, I think, is personally, my personal opinion is it's hysterical. My son has a different take, but we didn't talk about it. And we didn't talk about it because we're focused on policy. We are focused on what we refer to as substantive issues. This, for lack of a better term, kerfuffle about Trump's view of the quote unquote democratic process is silliness. So the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show airs at the Patriot 1280 in Minneapolis at 11 p.m. on Sunday. That's my only affiliate. It's also on GCNlive.com. But this is the place to hear it really in the best quality. I really concentrate on posting high quality audio files. So this is the place. BobDavisPodcast.com is the place to hear this show in crystal clear digital sound the way it ought to be heard. So here is segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show number 49. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Yeah, so I'm traveling again. Last week's show, I did a live show from Garberville, California, in just a blinding rainstorm. And I called it Gerberville, which is classic Bob Davis. Just, I don't even know where I am. And on these long trips, as I've been saying, so if you haven't heard the previous shows or listened to the podcast, I've been traveling from Minneapolis all the way across the western part, the northern northwest. I call it the Great Northwest Road Trip. Went to the pipeline protest in Bismarck, North Dakota, all the way across to what was the state after North Dakota? Montana, and then on into Idaho, Glacier National Park, over to the Washington coast, down the Washington coast to Oregon and Northern California, all the way down to Los Angeles, California. I am sitting on San Vicente Boulevard as we speak. It's about 11 o'clock p.m., and I came to Los Angeles to see my son, who is doing the Millennial Channel, the Millennial Project YouTube channel here in Los Angeles, and we have these great conversations about politics. So what we're going to do is we're going to do sort of a father and son show tonight to talk a little bit about where we're at in terms of the election. Just about, 2 weeks out now, something like that? Are we 2 weeks out?
I think just a little bit more than 2 weeks.
And, we have these, I wouldn't call them knockdown, drag-out fights so much as we have very long and involved conversations about politics.
Conversations.
And sometimes they're like 2 or 3 hours long. So in this show, we're gonna talk about the election as it currently stands. Everybody's been talking about the third debate, which took place Wednesday night. I think it was Wednesday night, right? So people are still talking about the debate that took place Wednesday night all this weekend. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about the state of the election as it currently stands. I'm not going to do the state-by-state polls, although I would imagine the state-by-state polls are going to come up in this show here and there. But I'll do a complete rundown of the state-by-state polls before we get to much further down the line here in October. So it's a little bit different view of the election in California versus northern Washington or western Washington or Montana or Utah. I didn't see a Clinton sign until I got to southern Oregon.
Well, and there's not a ton of them here, but there's enough that you know that people support Clinton, and then, of course, there's almost no Trump signs. Although, I have found a few here and there, so it's, you know, there's a few supporters in Los Angeles.
You found Trump signs?
Like, literally two in the entire city.
And oh, that's found, down where we're in Fullerton.
No, I've seen two in Los Angeles, but that's it, only two.
Because my son, by the way, my son's name is Andrew Davis, and what is it? It's the Millennial Channel.
It's called the Millennial Project. It's a YouTube channel. Subscribe, follow this exciting story I've been doing about people under the Hollywood sign trying to shut off access to the sign because they don't want tourists and hikers coming into their neighborhood. It's a whole crazy issue out here in Los Angeles.
And you also went to the Reagan thing in Simi Valley, and you've done other stories, but you are now the
guy.
And
the Clinton Foundation story.
That's true. I forgot about that. And you kind of called that story. If you watch that story on YouTube, you kind of called the controversy about the Clinton Foundation a little early.
Yeah, well, I think if you've ever been to a Clinton Foundation event, it's pretty clear that, you know, maybe there's nothing illegal going on, but at the same time, you know, it's a place where people go to be seen and be around the Clintons. And, you know, events that have the Clintons obviously draw the largest crowds. There's a lot of big name corporations there. You know, it's not always something that people tend to go to, I think, just to do good things for other people.
Right.
Although a lot of people who are there are also trying to do good things for other people. But, you know, I was at a Clinton Global Initiative event, which is a specific subset of the Clinton Foundation.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, so it's interesting. I think it shows kind of the complexity of why people think what's going on is illegal, but, you know, maybe also isn't, but also is concerning. Let's put it that way. So,
well, yeah, and I was pleased to hear you say that, because you're out here in the land of, I don't know what you call this place, California. It's a beautiful state, I will tell you that. And I've told people that in the podcast this week, that it is unrivaled. Northern California blows me away, but it is California, and what is her lead here? Something like 27 points or some ridiculous...
Well, she's obviously going to win California.
Yeah.
So I think it's not even really in the game, although there are, you know, some really hardcore Republican areas here. They're just
Orange County.
Yeah, they're just greatly outbalanced
by
liberal-leaning people. And then, you know, also...
The birthplace of Richard M. Nixon, by the way. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, there's Nixon and Reagan both came from California. But, I mean, to be fully transparent...
No, Reagan was from Illinois, actually.
Well,
Illinois.
He governed here, so
I don't think
Illinois can claim him. It's not called the land of Reagan, let's put it that way. So it's called the land of Lincoln.
No, but he was from Illinois.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get that, but, you know.
I got it. We don't need to talk about that. We don't need to go through that.
We can argue about that some other time.
So we're going to talk about, just talk about the election as it currently stands. Why do I have my son on? Because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, this is another one of these guys that has a son. And, you know, he has a perspective from his, what are you, 25?
Yeah.
I mean, I know how old you are.
I'm 25. We've been talking about this stuff for years. I did activism stuff in high school, went, you know, to other countries and built schools and stuff like that and tried to, you know.
So you're a millennial and you have a different perspective of things. We were talking about this today. There's an old way of doing things now, and it's almost like a clear line. And I don't see the presidential candidates. You know, I see them both in the old way of doing things, by the way. And then there's a new way of doing things. And the people who are still steeped in the old way of doing things really don't want to hear about the new way. And those are the people that, what are you doing on your cell phone? And, you know, what's wrong with these young people? They're all wearing man buns and doing all the, they've become feminized and all this other stuff. And but it goes way deeper than that, this old versus new way of doing things. And we were kind of talking about that a little bit today. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But I also want to talk about where we think this thing is going in the next. Well, what do we have now? 2 weeks or something before the 3 weeks to November 8th, roughly, till the election. So I think it's time to fish or cut bait. I think it's time to start talking about what we think is probably not necessary to predict the election, but let's talk about what it's going to come down to a little bit. We'll do that. What else? What else do you want to talk about? Anything? Anything in your mind that you want to talk about besides the old and the new way?
I think we can get a lot out about the election. I think a little old way new stuff would be good. You know, old way new way stuff would be good. Excuse me. I think, you know, we can talk a little bit about LA, what
yes.
it's like to be out here. We had a really interesting experience today where we walked to a restaurant, and it's a 1.3-mile walk. And growing up in Chicago, we were talking about how, you know, literally our entire lives were lived in a 1.3-mile radius a lot of times in Chicago. And
yeah,
here,
and there was this life everywhere, and you'd walk. Here, we walk
You walk 1.3 miles, and you know, walk under a freeway and, you know, by the VA center, and that's it. And then you're at the restaurant, and it's like, it took, you know, 40 minutes or something. It was crazy. So,
and we really clearly, different. We got there faster than we would have gotten there if we'd driven.
Yeah, we walked past cars at work that were stuck in traffic.
It would have been 30 minutes, probably.
Really a different city, really an interesting city, especially, you know, for people in the Midwest. I think L.A. is a very foreign beast.
I love it.
I think it's really cool for, you know, for certain reasons.
We're sitting here live on San Vicente Boulevard.
San Vicente.
Oh, Vicente. A Google calls it San Vicente or something weird like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I can't do that. It has trouble with the, you know, Spanish-inspired names. Or so, maybe we've just bastardized them beyond, you know, recognition.
Google's been bastardized. No, it's San Vicente, and you can hear the cars going by. So we're right here by some office
building. Yeah,
we'll
probably hear some motorcycles and stuff. Maybe a few sirens if we're lucky.
And I went down to the beach at Santa Monica today, and it was great. This is a beautiful state. And I love this town. So we'll talk about LA. In fact, we'll do that next on the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. So, yeah, you're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show for all the podcasts. And this is original content, so you won't be hearing this in any of the podcasts unless you go to thebobdavispodcast.com. So this is new content for the radio show specifically. So check out thebobdavispodcasts.com for more of the Bob Davis Podcast and to sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter and to follow me on my trip. This is the Bob Davis Podcast's radio show. Okay, just ahead of segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show live from Mobile Podcast Command. So it's like 90 degrees in Phoenix today. Brilliant sunshine. One thing I like about the Southwest, especially this time of the year, you open up I have all the doors of the podcast, Mobile Podcast Command, wide open. I got curtains in the back that keep the sunlight out. But it's a nice breeze in here, and I'm sitting here drinking my coffee, just enjoying the absolute brilliance of being able to have the doors and windows open in this summer-like atmosphere, because you can't do that in Minnesota. You pull into a campground or something in Minnesota, throw open the doors and in the summer, and you're going to have every bug on the planet in your vehicle. Whereas here, no. A fly comes through once in a while, but basically it's beautiful in here with the breeze, and you might be able to hear a little bit of breeze in the background. So I know back in Minnesota that they're talking about snow, and they're talking about sleet, and they're talking about winter coming, and we all knew that it would eventually happen. And I want to remind everybody, this winter, Ryan Plumbing and Heating does great emergency service, and you may need it because of frozen pipes and other issues that occur during winter in Minneapolis. If you have a need for emergency plumbing, heating, or air conditioning service, obviously, you're not going to have a problem with air conditioning service, but heating or plumbing during the winter, residential and business, call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro wide, which means that you can get a plumber from them anywhere in the metro, Invergrove, Plymouth, you know, Coon Rapids, whatever. And they've been doing this for four generations. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, as I said, and great emergency service. Hot water heaters, heating systems, pipes breaking, things like that are a feature of winter in the upper Midwest. Give them a call if you have a need for emergency service. And also, they are still doing heating checks up the yin yang at Ryan Plumbing and Heating, so you can still call them for that. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They're also online at RyanPlumbing.com. A lot of great content on their site. Remember, when this stuff breaks down, when you want to keep your systems up and running all winter, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Here are the numbers one more time. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul. Okay, here's segment two of this week's Bob Davis podcast radio show with guest Andrew Davis, my son. We're talking about politics and issues in Los Angeles, and it was really a fun show to do. Here we go. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. And also look for me on Instagram, Twitter, and on YouTube. More details about that coming up. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. So we're live in L.A., literally on the street level, inside Mobile Podcast Command, the 2000 Ford Super Duty diesel ambulance. I've been driving all over the country. We're hanging out, and it's about 10:30 at night, and it's late. Los Angeles, California. So here's a kid that was raised both in Minneapolis and Chicago. We moved to Chicago when you were about five. And although I think it's fair to say you're kind of you've been all over the place, you've been all over the world, really. And you come to Los Angeles, California, and tell me what you think of Los Angeles, because you're not kind of, you really have never been one of these people that wants to go on the star tour or kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like the whole obsession with celebrities thing in Los Angeles doesn't totally resonate with me. So you know, it's not like why I came here, but. I think LA is really cool for a lot of reasons. It's a city that doesn't get a lot of recognition as a cool place beyond kind of the star tour draw. But what I love about it is it's so wide and massive and sprawling and flat rather than tall that there's just all these nooks and crannies of the city that you can, you know, kind of stumble across and discover. And so, you know, there's just like, I started doing this story on the Hollywood sign for my YouTube channel, and I ended up finding out about this really cool neighborhood called Beechwood Canyon, which is this historic, you know, neighborhood that sits below the Hollywood sign. It has these cool houses from the 1920s, you know, like European influences. You know,
you're now the guy that's really the authority on this issue in Los Angeles.
Well, I don't know if I totally say that, but I've talked to a lot of the people. I've been putting up these videos that are kind of in-depth looks at, you know, various aspects of the issue, and it's... I've definitely been working on it probably longer than almost anyone else who's reported on it. But what I love about it is it's introduced me to this like tiny little part of LA that most people don't even know exists. And the crazy thing is that the Hollywood sign originally read Hollywood Land and actually was an advertisement for this real estate development that is now called Beechwood Canyon, or Hollywood Land, as the people who live in the upper part of Beechwood Canyon call it. So it's really cool, and there's stuff like that all over the city, and it's like it's super diverse and very active, and it's a very new city. There's a lot of, you know, there's a huge tech scene out here, which you wouldn't think because you think of that in San Francisco, but a ton of tech companies are moving down to the beach area. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was talking to somebody today, and, you know, it'd be interesting to hear you compare. You know, you hear Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton talking about bringing manufacturing jobs back to America, and the manufacturing core of the country, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, and in particular Chicago, as a historic center of manufacturing. You live there, obviously long past its prime for when it was about manufacturing. And you come out to a place like this, and I said to somebody today, if you take it all into account, so if you come down from Northern California, down through farm country, into San Francisco, and you think about all of this, so entertainment, technology, you know, Palo Alto and Cupertino and, you know, San Francisco and all that region, this really is the industrial core of the country. It's just a different kind of industrial revolution. This is Detroit. It's a flight of fancy, but I said, this must have been what Detroit and Chicago and all those places were like in 1949 and 1952 before this, because this, it's just burgeoning. It feels like it's still booming out here.
I think that there's definitely an excitement and an energy here that has been lost in some other cities, potentially like Chicago. I mean, I was listening to a Brookings event, which I know we always fight about how liberal Brookings might be, but it doesn't matter because it was talking about cities, and this expert who's like apparently like the guy who's the expert on cities. I guess there's like one guy, but he was talking about global cities, and he was talking about how a lot of cities like Chicago and Baltimore, who that used to be global cities, have now fallen out of that kind of classification in a lot of ways. And now you're talking about like L.A., London, Paris, you know, and it was kind of sad, but it was also interesting to think about the energy here versus the energy back home in Chicago. And it really is different.
Yeah, and when we went on our walk, which was, you know, it's not a pleasant urban walk. The ex-mayor of Minneapolis, who wanted Minneapolis to be a walkable city, when you walk in L.A., you're walking under underpasses, then they go on forever. I mean, you go...
There's exhaust everywhere. There's litter. There's churned over carts.
Yeah, there's people sleeping behind bushes. But you don't... And then we walked into a neighborhood, which was more like Chicago. It was more like Clark Street. You know, we walked into the neighborhood
with all
the restaurants.
Well, it's weird because you have those little chunks, but it's like you won't find that for like, you know, 3 miles long and then a mile wide. It's just one street for a mile with a bunch of stuff, and then it's like wasteland again, urban wasteland, you know?
And then you said, we came back and there was a long line, like 3-block line of cars turning left. And by the way, by now it's dark, and it was 7:30 p.m., and you were like, it's 7:30 p.m., and there's still a traffic jam on the 405, and there's still a traffic jam over here. And, of course, everyone talks about L.A. traffic being legendary, and it is. Like,
it's really something special. I mean, if you're a traffic person, come out here and enjoy some L.A. traffic.
No, I mean, I'm going to Phoenix tonight because I am not driving in the traffic.
I mean, it literally starts at, like, 6:45, and if not a little bit before, and it goes till 10:30-ish, and then it starts up again at 1:30. There's traffic again. I mean, I went down to Fullerton to visit some family. Fullerton's like Anaheim. It's like 40 miles away. And it took two hours in the afternoon.
And it's 33 like miles away, something like that.
2 o'clock, 1:30, two-hour drive down there. It's crazy. So,
well, I mean, what does that say? Does that say that there? We talk about the old way. We talk about the new way. We compare Los Angeles to Detroit, or probably more effectively to Chicago, which still has industry and it still has corporate centers, or even Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Well, Chicago obviously is still a super vibrant city in one way, but I think it's clear if you've lived in both Chicago and L.A., or D.C. and Chicago, or New York and Chicago, Chicago is not the global city it once was. And that's because of a conscious set of policies that they've pursued that have not drawn in tech industry, that have not kept the city growing at a high level, that have not kept it competitive on a global scale. I mean, the city really came to prominence as, you know, a distribution center for the railroads, and it's a financial center for commodities, you know, for like the Merck Exchange and stuff like that. But it's losing its prominence because it's not as competitive in some of these newer markets, these new way markets, I think.
Do these two candidates, and I'm talking to you from the perspective of being, you know, in your 20s, do these two candidates have a fluency? And this is going to have to be a relatively short answer. Do these two candidates have a fluency about what's necessary to really take advantage of the new thinking and the new changes in technology?
You're going to absolutely hate me for this. It's no and yes for both, but we can pick it up after the break if that works for you.
Yeah, because we're going to have to break. So we're live in Los Angeles, and we'll get into the two campaigns a little bit in the next segment of this show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. To sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, go to gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Just ahead of segment three for this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show, number 49. You know, I'm sitting here and I just look through and I can't find my Hydrus copy. Hydrus, hydrusperformance.com. So I got to wing it. Usually I wing it, but I have a little bit of copy right there. But in the informal spirit of the radio show podcast every week, I'll just wing it. So I'm in Phoenix and my best friend's wife is a physical trainer. So I'm really excited to tell her about Hydrus. In fact, last night, actually it was about 2 or 3 o'clock this morning, I just ordered a boatload of Hydrus because I'm going to give Nancy some so she can experience. But she was telling me that she takes this anti-inflammatory prescription drug. She's always been a physical trainer, always been very physical. And obviously she takes it because she's getting a little older and, you know, she can feel those joint issues. And I said, I'm going to order some Hydrus up for you because you should really try this. Why? Well, a lot of times the issue is hydration. It isn't that you have problems with your joints or whatever. Yeah, if you're older, I have problems with my joints. You know, when I'm doing squats, when I am doing lunges, it's really hard on my knees because I was a runner. I ran too much. I biked all the time. You guys know, if you've been listening to me for a long time, you know I urban biked, jumping over curves, falling off the bike. This is before bike trails. You know, just a crazy man on the bike. I sustained some injuries. I got hit by a car at one point. So I've definitely sustained some injuries, and I've also done weightlifting and stuff without really any training, which is not good. But it doesn't matter what you do for your physical regime. If Hydrus will really help you because it uses exclusive nanosome technology to get these electrolytes into your system really fast. So if you drink a lot of water before you work out or before you do yoga or before you run or whatever, you don't get fully hydrated until you actually get 30 or 40 minutes in. And by that time, it's really difficult. If you Hydrus up, as I refer to it, you dilute Hydrus in a bottle of 16.7 ounces of water. And one of those bottles, by the way, I got to say, if you go to the website, and I'll just finish this quickly, you're going to see these bottles and packets, and you don't drink the bottle. You dilute it into 16.7 ounces of water. So the bottle lasts about a month at least, depending on how much you work out. You drink Hydrus before, during, and after. It will make a huge difference in whatever you do. CrossFit, yoga, yoga, sculpt, running, biking. Even if you do something like hunting people actually notice, older people, like, you know, advanced age people notice a difference in the way they feel when they are fully hydrated. So check them out online, hydrusperformance.com. Lots of content on their page. You got strongman athletes, CrossFit athletes, runners, tennis players, wrestlers, using Hydrus. It really works. Hydrusperformance.com, HYDRUS, hydrusperformance.com. Okay, enough said. Enough of my jabbering about Hydrus. I can't wait for it to get here. I ordered it down here. I'm super excited for it to get here, and it was free shipping too, so I'm pretty excited about that. All right, here is segment 3 of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show with guest Andrew Davis. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For all the podcasts, you check out the BobDavisPodcasts.com. So yeah, I am traveling. I'm in Los Angeles, California, and my son Andrew Davis is joining me. Andrew Davis doing the Millennial Project YouTube channel. It's available on YouTube. Feel free to subscribe. And I was saying earlier that one of the reasons that I'm having him on and on the radio show is we have these 2-3 hour long political conversations, which I think started when you were actually really young and I was all over the country, and so I would call you all the time and we would talk, and now they've really kind of gotten a lot in depth. And I don't think, a lot of people that know you don't realize how much you really do know about policy. You have an international relations degree, you know, you studied this, and you're doing... The idea of the Millennial Project is to go a little bit more in-depth with stories, and you've done a couple, and now you're really concentrating on the Hollywood thing. But we were talking about this, and I think it's just because it's been in my mind because of travel and because of different experiences I've had. There's an old way of doing things, and then there's a new way of doing things. And there seems to be a divide in this country about the new way versus the old way. And I might have described this 5 years ago as a conservative versus a liberal, but I don't think it's conservative or liberal. I think it's West Coast versus East Coast, perhaps. I think it's Silicon Valley versus Detroit, let's say. But even that doesn't even begin to describe it. Do you understand what I'm talking about when I talk about old way versus new way?
I think I do. I mean, I think that there does seem to be, in a weird way, whether it's in corporate culture or whether it's in political culture, there's kind of something new happening and something old happening in a way that I think... appears to me, even as a young person, to be unique and something that probably hasn't happened for a long time. So, if that makes any sense.
Well, I see the new way as being way more collaborative, which is really difficult if you are from, like, my generation. We operate on the top down. Somebody tells you what to do, and you do it.
And you have to be comfortable with a little bit of chaos, with a little bit of, like, controlled chaos. Like, we're just going to send people out and see what happens, or we're just going to, like, collaborate and see where this crazy idea goes. And I think that's really hard for people who, you know, are more used to producing one product consistently at a high quality level, let's just say, you know, over a period of 10, 20, 30 years. I think if you do that now, you will quickly be run out of a market, let's say.
You're not adapting fast enough.
I mean, obviously that's a really huge blanket statement, but I think, you know, in some of these newer industries, you have to be changing a lot.
And your people don't seem to have any, your generation seems to not have as much of a problem with the collaboration and with the...
I think a lot of us want to collaborate and want to work together and not necessarily have our own ideas just be there and have everyone be like, oh, you're great, but to build something new together, hopefully. I mean, that's kind of the ideal. Now, obviously, there's narcissists and stuff in every generation.
Narcissists.
So, you know.
You mean people... Oh, I see. That's that. The narcissist who says, I've got to have it my way. I'm
or who has
this.
His own YouTube channel or maybe his own podcast, you know?
You think I'm a narcissist?
No, of course not.
I've thought about that. I don't think I am.
No, I don't think so. I think there's probably like a textbook definition that you only hit a few of the points on.
Well, you have to be a little bit of a narcissist to do this kind of stuff. I just do it now because I don't know what else to do.
No, you know, this is fun stuff. And the fact is, you're having me on your podcast, so you can't be too much of a narcissist, or else you just wouldn't have anybody on ever.
You're right, because that I would just talk. Of course, I don't have that many people on. But I asked you in the last segment, you know.
Right.
So a lot of talk this week about the debates, and this is the last debate, the third debate. I'm still not hearing what I need to hear from either one of them about the future, and particularly as it pertains to this old thinking, new thinking.
So we're thinking
situation.
Like old way, new way. We're talking about collaboration, technology, you know, kind of where the country is going versus where the country is and which candidate is really best suited to take us in right. that direction. I think, unfortunately, the answer kind of at this point for me is that both candidates embody in a weird kind of perverted way, both the old way and the new way. And I'll just start with Trump and say that, again, as the go-to millennial, I'm not a huge Trump supporter at all. In fact, I don't really love the guy.
And we should say, there are Trump supporters that are millennials, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, just to be transparent, I don't want to get up here and, you know,
it doesn't matter
and BS people. But anyways, you know, I think that he embodies a new way in the sense that he's, you know, he's rocketed off of this social media thing and really kind of taken over the media space with these kind of outrageous statements that I think in years past would have disqualified him in traditional media, but that has become like kind of it's caught fire, for lack of a better term, in, you know, within the era of media that we live in now. And I think that's really interesting.
But he
and
never
there's something
really
to
says
that.
How, you know, they're really provocative statements, but he really never tells you what he's going
to
do.
Well, I think it kind of is like, it's like a shock. It's shocking to what might be called like a politically correct culture. And I think it makes people viscerally upset, and some of it has definitely offended me, especially the stuff that was on the tapes released the other day. But everything going back to, you know, him talking, you know, badly about Muslims, about, you know, women
and then
in other
course,
contexts, etc.
Then, of course, you know, you've got Crooked Hillary.
Saying that, no, I mean, but just to finish up, like, saying that the inner cities are, like, war zones with a guy that clearly never even goes anywhere near an inner city. I mean, it just doesn't resonate very well with me. So it's, again, this, like, weird alliance between old way, new way. For Hillary, it's tough because she's running a campaign that feels like it was put together in, like, 1997. You know what I mean? And it's, like, it's super put together in a good way. It's very professional. They know what they're doing. They're not going to make a lot of, like, kind of half... ask mistakes.
Well, I mean, I've seen three debates, and we're going to talk about this in a podcast after we do this show.
Right, of course.
But, you know, there's just, I hate to say this to people who might be, you know, on the right. I hear her, and I don't agree with her, but I hear her substantiating. I hear substantive responses to questions.
I mean, she's very buttoned up, and she clearly knows what she's talking about. Doesn't mean that she's going to do the right thing necessarily versus the
wrong
thing.
Not for me, she's not.
But, there's a level of proficiency there that I think it's fair to say doesn't exist on the Trump side.
Are people going to care about this?
I don't know. I mean, that's just what I'm seeing. But when we go old way, new way with Hillary, I think where she does embody some of the new way, even if it's not totally genuine, which again is a sticking point for me, as the go-to millennial, is that, no, I mean, I don't think she seems very genuine, but I do think that she, you know, she does have the language down of, like, we're going to be stronger together and inclusive, and we're going to build an international community.
But doesn't Trump have that, too?
He doesn't seem to be doing the whole, like, stronger together thing. You know, I think it's more of a, like, let's make America great again like it was in the 1960s, which
when we
like,
were watching the debate, what was it, Wednesday night? I think we were in L.A., and we were watching the debate at your house, and you said she's pinging right between center-right and center-left.
Oh, totally. She's been doing this since the convention, at least, and, you know, she obviously moved left to grab people in the primaries from the Bernie side, but she's very consciously been, you know, trying to make sure that she offers an opportunity for people on the right to vote for her as well. And you can see it in literally everything she says, all of her debate answers. You know, she's kind of like, well, you know, well, we're going to do that, and we're going to do the other thing. And, like, he's so crazy over there that, like, obviously I'm the person to
go to.
But
is he crazy, or is he just having a problem describing exactly? Or maybe he's really telling the truth, and he's being plain speak. And we'll talk about that in the next segment, too. But I'm not so sure that what he's saying isn't resonating. You know, I think it's resonating, but I don't, obviously it's not resonating with we were sitting in the truck after the debate, and you said, oh my God, and you had all these messages, message alerts on your phone, and they were all from your classmates that were, like, making fun of Trump. So I'm not surprised. I mean, I don't expect 18 to 34s. Well, I don't expect 18 to 34s to go out and vote for Trump in droves. But he does connect with people. It's just a different way. It's I hate to say it, it's the old guy who has been on disability for the last 4 years or 5 years, ever since he got fired from Viacom, you know. Or not Viacom, but Verizon, you know, or they downsized somebody from, you know, whatever. That's how I see it. And I'm sorry, I'll elucidate that a little bit more in the next podcast, but, or in the next segment. But you're going to say something?
No, we're just good. We got to go to break.
No. Oh, see, now the master is being told what to do understudy.
Did I mess that up?
No, we'll talk a little bit about the debates, and we'll talk a little bit about some of this other stuff in the next segment here. This is the Bob Davis Podcast radio show for all the podcasts. Visit thebobdavispodcast.com and to sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, The Bob Line, when I finally get it out, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Just ahead of segment four of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show inside Mobile Podcast Command, Phoenix, Arizona, thanks to the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Why do I talk about this? Because the mission of Alpha Systems is to make sure pilots fly safe, and flying safe means understanding how much lift you need when you make that final turn on approach to land. And the deal is, in general aviation, this is one of the biggest problems, where pilots do not add enough power, they make the turn, they dump, and then bad things happen. And Alpha Systems' mission is to make sure pilots fly safe. Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. What it is a visual indicator of the amount of lift underneath your aircraft, and it really does help you fly safe. That's the whole point of this. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com page for more information. That will take you to Alpha Systems' website. Gives you more information about what they do, how they do it. You'll see it in action, and if you're a pilot, you'll understand why it's great. And again, pilots, good luck and fly safe. Also, want to thank my sponsors, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. I'm laughing because I pulled the numbers with my feet. And then don't forget Hydrus, the high-performance beverage that does not use sugar to get critical electrolytes into your system really fast. And Hydrus helps me take it to the edge. For me in yoga, that is where all the growth is. Now, I'm taking a break from yoga right now, but I just ordered up a ton of Hydrus for my best friend's wife, Nancy, who's a physical trainer. I'm super excited to have her try it, and I'll give you more info about that later. All right, let's get into segment four. My son and I doing the radio show this week, Bob Davis Podcast radio show number 49 in podcast 563. A lot of numbers to throw out. Here's segment four. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, live from Los Angeles, California, on San Vicente Boulevard, inside Mobile Podcast Command. Yes, we are live on San Vicente Boulevard in Mobile Podcast Command. It's about, 11:30, and there's all this traffic up and down this road. It's just craziness. Sunday night, Sunday night, and there's all this traffic in Los Angeles at this time of the day. So, let me just say, as a precursor in this conversation, our conversations tend to get really heated. And what ends up starting to happen is he starts making statements about Clinton, and I start saying, come on, because I don't feel that you're being objective. And so then I'm put in the position of defending Trump when everybody knows my position. I don't endorse any of these candidates. I really don't like either of the two mainline party candidates. I think the party system, as it currently is structured, has produced two of the worst candidates in 100 years in American politics, and that includes Hillary Clinton. But there it is. So there's a couple of different things to talk about. First, and we'll do it quickly because we only have about 8, 9, 10 minutes, we have to talk about the aftermath of the debate and the debate a little bit. And then I want to just briefly discuss so far, you know, where we're at with the polls, just to the state-by-state polls, not the national polls. And so we'll go from there. So we both watched the debate. We haven't, really had a chance to discuss too much about what we thought of the debate. And I know people have been talking about this all week and all weekend, although I still don't know what the numbers were for this last debate, whether they were up or down. I thought Chris Wallace did a great job.
We still won't see for a little while, though.
Yeah. So what did you think of the debate? The last debate.
The last debate, I think objectively it was a tough call about who specifically won. I think, just for me personally, I think Hillary Clinton won me versus Donald Trump. But I think, I think supporters on both sides are gonna be happy with both of them.
Well, that's what kind of analysis is that?
I'm just trying to say, I think the town hall debate, I think it was clear, like, Trump had a rough night, and he didn't do a very good job.
He did better.
And in the first debate, it was clear, like, Hillary Clinton came in and mopped the floor with the guy. But in this debate, I think he came out, he was, he did a good job, he was super composed, which I did not expect him to be. I thought he was going to, go, for lack of a better term, balls to the wall and just, throw everything he had at Clinton. It was a more substantive debate, which I didn't expect. So, I think there's something, I wasn't just trying to, mealy-mouth the thing. I think,
right.
I think it was a good matchup, and I think that, you can never figure out who won the debate. No one really knows. So I think, it's only clear when it's like someone really messes up.
You thought Bernie Sanders was cute, but you weren't. You're not a socialist, right? Like, you didn't really want Bernie Sanders because you don't really think that you're going to get free college.
I mean,
and
I'm
going to
be honest. I voted for him in the primary in California, but I did it despite Hillary Clinton. But I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. So, if there's my transparency.
Okay, here's my view of Trump. My view of Trump is this. I still am not hearing any substance. I'm not hearing him say how he's going to grow the economy 4-6%. And just giving a big tax cut to any group is not going to grow the economy 4-6%. Now, when he talks about reducing regulation, that makes some sense. But you also have to cut spending. And the whole thing about – I want to say this because it's really important. The one thing about supply-side economics is – everyone talks about trickle-down economics, which, by the way, Reagan never used that term. That was never a term that
also,
Ronald Reagan
used. Also, who wants trickle-down anything? I don't want trickle-down rain. I don't want – what does that even mean?
But the way it works, the way that you create supply-side growth is you've got to cut taxes, but you also have to cut spending. And not even Reagan did that. What Reagan did was he spent in a higher – quote-unquote, a theorized higher multiple, which is defense at the time. So it helped aerospace and it helps technology.
I know we'll have to
but he doesn't even talk about that. He just says, we're gonna grow 6%, maybe 4, maybe 6. It's gonna be great, but he doesn't tell people how he's gonna do it. The question is whether people are gonna buy this. And it's gonna take Republican voters in large numbers in key states: Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, North Carolina, Nevada, Arizona. Places like that, and there's a bunch of different battleground states this year to actually go out and vote for him, and popular vote be damned, it's going to be a state by state question.
Well, I mean, I think he can get a lot of people, especially in the right base and maybe even beyond the base, a little bit out. I think the narrative he's created at least in this last debate, I think was largely beyond the Crooked Hillary stuff was, you know, the other countries have smart leaders. We have stupid leaders. Put a smart guy in there. We'll take care of it. It's going to be simple. It's going to be easy. It's going to be great, right?
Like, that's my complaint, though, because but that's not a position.
I think what I'm saying is, like, I think what he's appealing to is, like, well, you just got to get a guy with a brain in there, and then it'll be fine, because anybody could do this job. You know, it's just the guy that we have in there is just, for some reason, not able to handle it. But I don't think that's accurate, but I think that's what he's saying. And I think if you are someone who isolates themselves and, you know, the Fox News Breitbart ecosystem, you know, you're not going to have the tools intellectually to combat that assumption about Obama.
My issue is both of them are statists. Both of them are going to impose state-oriented solutions to problems. He's going to impose state-oriented solutions to immigration. He's going to impose state-oriented solutions to trade and free trade. She's the free trader. It's so unusual to hear a Democrat be a free trader and to be the conservative,
and a closeted quote unquote, free trader,
conservative, which is not a Republican, who is essentially a trade protectionist. How is that? How is trade protection a recipe for an economic growth?
Well, I was just going to touch on this. I think it's really important to note that he talks about 4 to 6% economic growth, yet he's questioning whether we're going to uphold NAFTA, and he's questioning whether we're going to uphold NATO, and he's talking about getting rid of NAFTA. And if you allow both of those agreements to disintegrate in any form, the economic blowout would be
enormous.
I think catastrophic to our well-being.
What about this idea that the way we're going to fix this, we're going to fix the deficit because we're going to get these countries like the Emirates and Saudi Arabia and South Korea to pay us for us defending them?
We're not an empire. You know, I think some people would like to say we are, you know, especially some people I think that I may have even studied in college that generally tend to skew more liberal would characterize the United States as an empire. But that's not what we are. That's not what we want to be. I don't know why we would ask for what is essentially, you know, tribute.
Mercantilism.
It's like old world
Rome.
Tribute.
All
Rome. You know, it's
all,
like,
yeah, right.
It's like, send us some gold or we're going to like bash your stuff in. Like, that's not what I'm doing, and that's not what I want to be a part of. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous, and I won't be voting for it.
Well, I mean, I think it's just,
I respond just a little bit more to it though?
Yeah. And because I think people think there's an enormous amount of money being spent on foreign aid.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, and I talked a little bit about this when I was on one of your other podcasts, but it's like, you got to understand, the United States is the linchpin of the international system. So there's not a future for us where we're not involved in giving foreign aid and we're not intervening in, you know, in conflicts abroad. Now, that doesn't mean we have to go and do stupid things abroad and get ourselves into wars that we can't win or fail to rebuild countries or leave before it's time, you know, to leave because we just want to have a political victory in a place like Iraq. You know, I think there's a lot we can improve upon in our foreign policy, but the idea that we're spending too much on aid and that we're going to somehow just disintegrate these agreements because, you know, they're not somehow helping us, which is ridiculous because trade flows through the United States and power flows through the United States the way that we've set up these agreements.
We get a lot of benefits from, I mean, clearly the benefit of defending Europe after World War II was that we were the industrial center of the world.
Well, and I think really more so than that, I would say the benefit of it was there was stability and there was, well, I wouldn't call it a common market. There was now a stable shared market between, you know, the most prosperous countries in the world. That's a huge deal.
At the same time, he's kind of talking about sending troops in to fight ISIS. So, you know, it's just, if you're a libertarian, you know, the libertarian view is we shouldn't be doing any of this. We really should be live and let live. We should really, only as an absolute last resort to defend ourselves, to intervene, which is really the whole debate about forward intervention and everything else. He's not saying that. He's saying we're going to continue to defend these countries, but what we're going to do is we're going to get them to pay us for it, which is... So he's both destroying the whole concept of realist foreign policy and the whole concept of liberal foreign policy, and he's practicing questionable economics by saying, and they're going to pay us this minuscule amount of money, which is about 1% of our budget that we use for foreign aid and even foreign defense aid. And that's going to fix our budget deficit.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's going on, this guy is putting forward a completely sporadic set of beliefs that don't have any root in either conservative or liberal ideas in any sort of academia or any sort of practice. And what it appears to me is that basically he's, you know, he's he's taking political opportunities to make jabs at Hillary Clinton, and that's the basis for his campaign.
So coming up next week, we'll talk more about the state-by-state polls in the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Time to go. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. This is the Bob Davis Podcast's Radio Show.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm gonna shoot you right down. Right off of your feet. Take you home with me. Put you in my house. Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love to see you walk. Up and down.
There you go. That's this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Thanks again to my son, Andrew Davis, for his excellent political analysis. And a lot of people have been saying they really like the father and son podcasts. We might do some more stuff. So some quick wrinkles. Yes, thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, listen to the radio show at GCNLive.com, and on the Patriot, AM 1280 in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And now I have a new YouTube channel, the Bob Davis Podcasts, I think that's what it is, or the Bob Davis Podcast on YouTube. You'll find it. Watch. It's just travel. I don't think I'm going to put any political stuff on there. It's just going to be travel stuff. When I go and travel, it's going to be a travel vlog. So I really am excited that people check that out. So thanks for doing that. And of course, thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. I'm cranking out the Instagram posts. I'm burning up Instagram on this trip, and people are loving it. And I really thank you for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command. Thank you, Celine. Actually, it's Celine, and I did not know that, and I called you Celine, so I'm really sorry. Thank you, Celine, for your donation to Mobile Podcast Command just recently. It's going into diesel fuel and Komodo Dragon coffee, and occasionally a dinner on the road through PayPal at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Remember, if you want to subscribe, if you want to check out the page, you can always listen to the streaming on thebobdavispodcast.com. You can listen to any podcast you want on the Bob Davis Podcast.com, or you can subscribe at Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, blah, 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 blah. Thanks for listening to Podcast 563. Time to have some coffee and relax and get a tan out here in Phoenix. This is a really good coffee. This is great. Beautiful day.